repeatedly now, if Roy was going to be in with any mechanical kinds, technical amendments, are there anything coming?
I'll check and let you know today.
Yeah, because I don't want Friday for the department to come in and say, oh, by the way.
No.
And we're going to hear from the board also, right, Mike, mm-hmm. on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, Jim Randall from Safe Corporation. I guess just a question, and I apologize if this has been answered and I didn't catch it throughout the process, but on section 24 of the bill, subsection 1 deals with the self-insured employer, the corporation, or the private carrier's right to request a medical examination of a claimant. In reading section 6, and this area has been taken out in Ann Grost, and I believe also in the first version, I guess my question simply is are the new medical procedures designed to answer that need? I don't see a procedure in reading section 6 that would allow for a carrier or a self-insured employer to request that an injured worker be given an independent medical examination or a consultant examination. I didn't know if Mike could answer that for me, or I just wanted to raise it.
Are you talking about section 1?
Well, I'm talking about section 24 on page 18 of the bill, sub 1, that eliminates the provision that's presently in law that allows for that independent examination. Then I guess I'm referencing back to section 6 of the bill that has those medical procedures and trying to see if that's taken care of by those procedures, or in fact if that right of an independent examination at the request of the carrier is no longer in the bill or was not intended to be in. Or if indeed it was an oversight, I guess.
That's why we need to walk through it.
I can't answer that right now.
I just wanted to raise that concern, I guess, then, Mr. Chairman. We did not see it earlier, and I apologize.
Okay. We'll take a look at that then, Jim.
Fine.
Okay. I want to too. If there's anybody else out there that has any of these questions or catches a glitch or a contradiction, I suggest everybody start going through this thing now. Word for word, so we can catch this, and I'd like to try and catch all of those things on Wednesday. Can the department review it by Wednesday? And Steve? Carl? Harl? Harl?
You? Carl.
Kirk? Anybody else? Scotty? Okay, we'll run through it. And
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I'd like to make a proposal, or at least a request for consideration. In the bill now, we have the Handicap Workers Reserve, or this concept of the Handicap Workers Fund that will be contributed by employers and workers. And I know you've heard a lot of testimony on the current second injury and the concept that these dollars would then pay for the costs of these injured workers, taking them outside of the system, if you will. They would not be reported as losses within the system. That would have an effect on putting the rates downward and so forth. We would like to request consideration that perhaps two funds be established, both for the same purpose. One would be for carrier-insured employers, using the language that Scotty just used, both Safe and private carriers, and one for self-insured. To the extent that this would create a pool of dollars from the employers and their workers on the insurance side, and a separate pool for those on the self-insurance side, then each drawing from the pool, recognizing that the effect will be to lower the rate for those dollars used for carrier insureds, won't quite have quite the same effect on the self-insurance side. I guess we'd just like to see two different reserves there so that the carriers are drawing from their dollars, the self-insurers from theirs, and we're not crossing over whoever gets there first, if you will.
Alder? Any comments?
That sounds good to me off the face. We all ought to come out of the same pot.
Could you give us some reasons?
Our feeling is that to the extent that the carriers, through their employers are paying into a fund, those dollars should flow directly back to the insured market, if you will, rather than to the self-insured market. If it's a 60-40, regardless of which direction, whether the carrier insureds are getting 60% of the relief, that's an unfair burden on the self-insureds. If it went the other way, a 60-40, there would not be the relief for the dollars put in. Remember, those who are paying premiums then, or the assessment, let's put it that way, into the reserve are supposed to get a corresponding reduction in rates, because these costs will not be put into the rating formula. They will be, as Roy Green put it, outside of the comp system. So to the extent that the dollars they pay in come back to them indirectly through reduced rates, there will be parity. To the extent that they don't get dollar for dollar back, they in effect are subsidizing another type of participant, in this case the self-insured. And of course the argument could work just the way, just in reverse, that if the carriers were better at getting their claims in and getting the dollars out, the self-insureds would be somewhat supporting the carrier insureds. We just feel it would be cleaner to establish two separate reserves.
Let me hear from him. Walter, you want to come in now?
Walter Thurman, Morgan Self-Insurers. I think the carriers were rather unhappy under the old self-insurance, the old second injury plan. They didn't take very much money out of it, and it did affect their rates because it stayed in the rates. But under the proposed plans, it would appear to me that we're after the same thing. We're trying to put injured workers back to work. I don't see, and carriers are not going to have the cost in the rates at all. I don't see why you should establish two separate funds. If the carriers do a good job of ferreting out who they can make claims for under the second injury fund, they can do just as well as the self-insured did. One of the reasons we did so well before, I think we worked out a little harder, too.
I kind of agree with you there. Okay, we'll take it under advisement.
That's all, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other, Steve?
Just one other point, Mr. Chairman. The committee has spent a good deal of time over the Field Services Division issue. The engrossed version of House Bill 2600 on the first page in line 6 still repeals 656.710, which deals with the Field Services Division. Now, it was my understanding that the committee was going to call back the Field Services Division for the presentation of some sort of a plan on how the operation would be improved, and at that time the committee would make a decision on the Field Services Division issue. And I suppose I just had a question over how the committee was going to handle that particular section of the bill, if at all.
Okay. I'm not sure if we have a consensus on that right now. Well, we of course we have taken a vote on the Field Services issue. As a final end product within the bill, I'll serve notice now that I intend to bring the issue up again, and to with or without the report. I don't think we're going to be able to have it by the end of the week. Something we can deal with, you know, before the session's over with, if we choose to go back. But it would be my intention to bring the issue up again, not to do away with field service, but to sunset them as of July 1 of 83, so that they have the next 2 years to get their act in order and come back and prove that they should exist. And I guess what I'm doing is serving notice. I intend to change my vote on that issue. And if there are members on the committee that intend to support that, then I would guess that would be the outcome. But to sunset them as of July 1 of 83, then receive that report when they get ready to, and we can always send another bill out to do that and change it, send it over to the Senate.
Okay, so I understand you. You're saying that you're going to put field services back into the system, but not in 2600.
No. Within 2600. In other words, amend 2600.
Go back and go back to 2600. Go back to field services as an approach, rather than requiring the carriers to provide those services.
Yes.
And we're going to change the effective date. We're effectively, with this amendment we established today, the requirement that they start providing services from the 21st day, basically.
No, I'm not so sure. They can still buy those services, I think, because you've got some that are contracting and et cetera. So we'll have to make sure these amendments do not conflict.
So you're going to change your position to reinstate them in the system?
Yes.
Sunset them 2 years hence?
Right.
Okay. I think it's a good move.
Was it reinstate or sunset them?
Sunset them.
Both.
Well,
Okay. Mr. Chair, can I ask a question tonight? Now here again is how I'm thinking of this chart. So when we have the section dealing with the responsibilities of the insurers, insurance carriers, then and before the vote was that they would assume more responsibility in the claim settlement and the rehabilitation section, then now how does this dovetail with this going back in with field services was to audit that, was to serve an audit function on the insurance risk. So then with your announcement today, moving back to them then also being a service provider to the injured worker, how does that affect the section on the insurance carriers themselves?
I'm not sure entirely. There may have to be some adjustments, but I still think that the responsibility on the notification and contact with the injured worker could remain the same.
Okay, that's what I need to get clear in my own mind too. Okay.
We're changing the date of their responsibility in effect for the motion, the amendment we had from 90 days to 21 days. As a practical matter, it appears that seems to be good, I think.
But the 21 days notification responsibility, before we were discussing, I was thinking it under the line of the insurance carrier's responsibility, and now we're going to talk about that being field services division's responsibility.
2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. And so in the chart, again, I think that
needs
to be really pointed out because we've been operating under another.
Yeah. Okay, are there any other... immediately after we adjourn, I'd like to get together with Alder, Dick, Lloyd, Carl, Jim, Steve, and so we can hash out some of these, how we're going to proceed on this.
Mr. Chairman, there was a couple issues kind of left hanging Friday. The bonus pay and vacation pay exclusion. I don't think the committee ever came to a resolution of that. Carl may want to participate in this discussion as well.
Are you working? You're working on that on a sub, aren't you, Dick? Yeah, let's hold off until this afternoon and the subcommittee. Right?
Is that true also of the classifications, Carl?
And I think we're going to make a decision on the classification stuff too.
Thank you.
Oh.